sermon on John 20 was recorded at our Easter Sunday gathering at Robina. It's titled, Jesus for Skeptics. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online at www.salt.church.
When it comes to matters of faith, you'd have to say Australians are largely skeptical. I once had a conversation with a plumber as he dug up my front yard to put in a new sewer. When I told him I was a Presbyterian minister, I invited him along to church. He said to me, the first time he went to church, they gave him a woman to look after. The second time he went along to church, they tried to drown his kids. And so the next time he plans to go to church, they'll have to take him there in a box. That's a bit like a dazed gazelle when I heard that, but it was one of the funniest things, one of the funniest no thanks I've ever heard. But when it comes to matters of faith, Australians value truth and transparency. Sadly, with only 9% of Australians regularly attending church, 91% of our country don't see what we see. They don't see the truth of Christianity. They don't see the transparency of our faith. And honestly, with all of the controversy and the hypocrisy, who could blame them? Most Australians are cynical and skeptical, and Queenslanders are the most distrusting of them all. 55% of Queenslanders don't trust our national leaders, compared with our national average of 49%. Who would have thought Queensland would be above average in anything? So if we're going to believe in something, especially here on Queensland's cynical Gold Coast, it needs to be true and transparent. And yet all Australians believe in something. Even those who say they don't believe in anything believe in something. 22% of Australians believe Jesus is the most important figure in history. In all of human history, Jesus is the standout figure. 32% of Australians believe Jesus is the Son of God. 6% believe that he never existed, which anecdotally is 6% more than any other atheist historian. We all believe in something. Some of us believe in anything. 22% of Australians believe in witches. 34% of Australians believe in UFOs. 41% of Australians believe in astrology. 52% of Australians believe in psychic powers. Even those who believe in nothing believe in something. Just don't tell them that or they won't believe you. 30% of Australians believe there is no God. They believe there is no God. 6% of Australians aren't sure what they believe, but they're very confident about their uncertainty. So if Australians are going to believe something, and all of us believe in something, then what we believe in needs to be truthful and it needs to be transparent. John has attempted to be transparent from the very opening verses of his gospel. He's been telling the truth about Jesus. He's been very transparent about it. John writes because he wants you to believe. He wants us to believe that we can have eternal life. When it comes to being transparent about the truth, John couldn't be any clearer. He couldn't be any more see-through. In fact, he puts it all up front and center for us at the very beginning of his gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, the words on the screen here behind me. But to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Unsurprisingly, then, it's the very same message at the end of the book, John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. God receives all those who believe in his Son. That's what John's saying. God gives eternal life to all his children. When we believe the truth about Jesus, God gives us eternal life. But this Sunday morning, this Easter Sunday morning, it's okay to be skeptical. You're not the first one to be skeptical, and you're in good company here too. Because this morning at Salt Church, we're asking the difficult questions. Are the claims that John makes about Jesus truthful? Is the evidence provided about Jesus by him transparent? Is Christianity true and transparent? You be the judge. Friends, Jesus is dead. So dead, he was buried. And the disciples, they watched him die, who saw him crucified, who witnessed his body piercing, his hands and his feet nailed to a Roman cross. Spectators as a spear was plunged into his side, hearers of the pronouncement of his death. They now begin their week in fear, hiding away behind a locked door. John, who wrote the gospel that you now hold in your hands, hides in fear with them. It's a room full of disciples, a room filled with fear. No one's getting in, no one's getting out. And outside of that room was no better. City streets not safe for those who'd been seen with him. Is this where following Jesus had led them for 3 years? Fearful captives behind a cold, locked door. These are the ones that Jesus came to set free. This is the future of the church. They saw him release others, set free from sickness and disease and disaster and even death, but now they're captives. Shut out, closed in, locked away. What the Jewish leaders did to their leader, Jesus, they could very well do now to his followers. Suddenly, an unexpected guest enters their sealed fortress. His hands and his side swallow up their fear. The resurrection dispels the spell that fear casts upon us as their fear quickly gives way to joy. Listen with me as the risen Lord Jesus speaks in verse 19. Peace be with you. When he'd said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus says, peace be with you. Not where did you guys go? Not pick yourselves up? Not get yourself together? Not harden up, princesses, but peace. From a sealed tomb, the risen Jesus now stands in a sealed room. And into their lives of doubt and fear, he speaks peace. A place where no one else could enter. A place that kept the world outside and at distance. Fear does that to us, doesn't it? Captures us. And it torments us, locks us away, it keeps others at distance. But into a place that was under siege, a place that momentarily felt safe, Jesus speaks into their emotional paralysis, speaking peace into their fears and their anxieties and their shame. His scars, they easily identify him. Jesus was dead, so dead that he was buried. But now the risen Lord has conquered death. His resurrection brings peace. Rest easy, friend. We don't have to doubt or be afraid anymore. But maybe you are afraid. Maybe you have doubt. Maybe you're afraid of what others will think, fearful of what they might say about you. I mean, they crucified the Son of God. What might they do to his followers? Maybe you question the resurrection too. Maybe you want to take another look at these things. All that fear and anxiety, it's tiring, isn't it? Exhausting. Aren't you exhausted from always being afraid? Here again, the Lord Jesus speaking into our fear-filled lives, verse 19, he says, peace be with you. Jesus offers you peace. He's alive, and his disciples have seen him. Fear gives way to joy because of the resurrection. Jesus speaks peace into all our fears. Listen as he speaks to them again in verse 21. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. What's happening here is his witnesses now become his messengers of peace. Ministers of the new covenant bringing peace to the world. Jesus came from heaven with peace and forgiveness, and he sends his disciples out into the world to make peace. Sent to tell the world that we can have peace with God. Sins can be forgiven. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, so he sends his disciples into the world. He brings peace so that we can have peace with God. He gives peace so that we can offer peace to others. You see, in the name of peace, the Prince of Peace sends out his disciples. Christianity has always been a movement, not an institution. But the first person they tell is not convinced. He's a skeptic. You see, they'd received the Holy Spirit. They'd been commissioned for mission, but not Thomas. Thomas says no. Verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the marks of the nail and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Deeply cynical is Thomas. Skeptical about the claims of his own friends. I don't believe you. I want evidence. Thomas wants to silence all of this God talk with scientific rationalism. The one called the twin now insists on taking a second look at the facts. But Thomas wants to set the parameters himself. He wants to discover God on his own terms. He wants to find God from the ground up, think his own way into discovering God. Show me his holy hands, then I'll believe. You say you've seen the Lord. I watched him die. Thomas knew Jesus was dead. So dead that he was buried. He witnessed his death with his own eyes. So any claims to the contrary would require some hard evidence. Can you hear the cynicism in his voice? Let my fingers drive like the nail into his body. I want my fist to go through his speared side. Show me, then I'll believe it. Give me proof. Truth and transparency, that's what Thomas is asking for. Not smoke and myth and mirrors. For Thomas and skeptics like him, though, it's always Friday, never Sunday. Thomas wasn't with them in the room last week. He didn't see Jesus appear to the others. He was getting on with his life, making matter what matters with matter. But Jesus doesn't give up on our doubts. He's determined to pursue Thomas. Even though he's doubtful and skeptical and cynical, Jesus hasn't given up on Thomas. Look there at verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. You want proof, Thomas? You can handle the proof. You can even handle the truth. Put your finger here. Put your hands there. Put your faith in me. How's that for transparency? Stop doubting, Thomas. Have peace instead. Truth and transparency is seen in the risen Jesus. He speaks fear into doubts and fears. He speaks peace into doubts and fears since 33 AD. Jesus is not afraid of your questions. He's appeared with answers. He's not turned away by your reservations. He rose up from the grave. And even if you've given up on him, he hasn't given up on you. God reveals himself to us. He appears, he shows himself. He doesn't turn up on our terms. We must come to him on his. You got questions here this morning? Are you unsure about Jesus? You still have doubt? Are you skeptical? We are so glad that you're here. Jesus hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on any of us. Maybe you should take another look at these things again. Like the disciples, we can have peace. We can know the truth about Jesus. Truth was raised and appeared to his disciples. He said he would die and rise again. Jesus' claims are true and transparent. So clear, you can put your finger in it. Thomas is confronted by the evidence. Can you see what he says in verse 28? My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Thomas doesn't say, oh my God. He says, my Lord and my God. From overjoy to overwhelming evidence, the risen Jesus speaks peace into doubts and fears. You believe because you see. Here's the evidence you insisted upon, Thomas. But blessed are those who believe but don't see. And we don't get to see like Thomas did, do we? You'll say, I believe when I see it for myself. But I want to tell you, all the evidence has already been presented. The scientific evidence has been placed before us. The jury got to handle it themselves. And now the evidence is provided by witnesses. Witnesses who saw and touched the evidence themselves. John says it this way in one of his letters, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, that means revealed. And we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life. You see, that's the evidence that's presented to us. The evidence provided for us to believe. It's not scientific evidence. It's not empirical evidence. It's testimonial evidence, the kind of evidence that's presented in a court. The evidence that stands up in a court provided by eyewitnesses. So how much more evidence do you need? Look again at verse 30. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. See, Thomas believed because he saw it. But blessed are you who believe the evidence that's been provided for you. John writes so that you'll believe in Jesus, so that you can have life in his name. You've seen the evidence. You've heard Jesus' words. Jesus says, stop doubting and believe. Is Christianity true and transparent? You be the judge. But Thomas, who thought he was in control, who thought he had all the answers, surrenders control of his life to the one who surrendered his life for him. By his resurrection, Jesus is in control of all things in our world of chaos. Jesus is the risen Lord. Over sin and death, Jesus gives forgiveness and life. Into doubts and fears, he speaks peace. But he only gives life to those who believe in his name, only to those who receive him. My Lord and my God is the expression of total surrender. Thomas surrenders his doubts and his fears to Jesus. And I want to ask you, are you in a position to do that today? You see, the issue for us isn't that it's hard for us to believe. It's not like faith is elusive to us. It's not like faith is experiential and hard to attain. Everyone believes. We all believe in something. It's just that we often believe in the wrong things. We misplace our faith. Because ultimately, we believe that peace can be found on our own. We believe that we can provide life for ourselves. Functionally, we believe we don't need Jesus. We think that we can find God ourselves or find an alternative replacement for him. That God and truth, that they're just waiting for us to discover them. And we think that we're clever enough to do it. We believe and we live in the belief that we're self-sufficient. And we live in the confusion that we're in control. But we're not in control, are we? We're constantly fearful. Always looking for momentary safety. Fear of our reputation being questioned. Fear of being rejected by other people. Fear of the consequences of faith. Fear of being discovered to be one of his followers. We have no peace because we're afraid of what might happen next. We hide away from the world and from others, hiding in fear of what others might do or say or think. But God isn't simply waiting around for you to discover him. God doesn't exist so that you might find him. Jesus comes looking for you. God makes himself known. He reveals, he appears, and Jesus has revealed himself to you this morning. He appears in the testimonial evidence, the eyewitness accounts presented for you in the Bible. See, Jesus steps into your world of fear, into the place that's been sealed off and sectioned off and locked away, the place in your life that no one else gets to enter into. And he stands there and he says, "Stop disbelieving, but believe." See, the risen Lord has it all under control. And he invites us all to lose ourselves, to surrender ourselves to him. My Lord and my God. And when we surrender our lives to Jesus, fear gives way to joy because we have peace. Listen, you've heard all the evidence. Christianity is true and transparent. You be the judge. Peace be with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we live in a world that's driven by science, by the things that we can see, by the things that we can look at, by the things that we can touch. Had we been born at the right time, we could have seen and touched and heard these things ourselves. We thank you for the Bible and for its testimony to us that the disciples have seen and heard and touched and now proclaim to us eternal life. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be people who believe, not in vain hope, not in some airy, fairy, mythical idea, but in the evidence presented to us about Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see with the eyes of our heart and to believe with all our heart that you are our Lord and God. Please help us, people who know your peace, be people who don't live in fear, but people who live in joy because of the peace you've given us. But we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.